Someone just asked me, right here, two people actually have asked me, the third definition of absolute. The first one was complete and total. The second was not limited in any way. And then the third definition, having unlimited power.
This again bring before us the continuing really on the track on which we are on, the greatness of the Son. But now it is expressed, the Logos, God's, the divine mind, fully revealed. What God was thinking before, what his mind was, if we should say, in eternity past. We are seeing it in full expression in the Word. And as was said, to realize, no matter how far back we can think, the Word was there. But to embrace verse 14, this Word, this Logos, is now manifested. In Hebrews, God was speaking through the Son. John is emphasizing He is the message. He's emphasizing even more deeper, in a way, the sense of the deity of the person of the Christ. Hebrews brought that out. But I think, way back in eternity past, this Logos, the mind and nature of God, is now coming out, not as a speaker, but to manifest who God is.
We need to keep in mind the unlimitedness and the absoluteness of this concept, Word. Because we are limited, and to think of divine persons in thought, in communion, in fellowship, sharing thoughts of love, and even embracing us in counsels, in purposes, as we come to Ephesians 1 and so on, all of that is involved in the mind, in the Word, in the thoughts of God. And we are humbled to think that even in eternity past, divine persons who enjoyed communion and fellowship within themselves, in the Godhead, thought among the Godhead, would embrace us as well. Logos does not necessarily come out in the early verses. The whole point of the Word becoming flesh shows that there was thought to embrace man and to be identified with man. It was not an afterthought. No, no, no. There was this eternal thought among divine persons that the Word would become flesh. That which was enjoyed and embraced and counseled and communicated in eternity past might be made known some wonderful day in time, and the Word became flesh. What a revelation, what a manifestation, and we vow to know God again, wanted to share his mind with men.
Certainly, in the fullness of time, God became man. And the tabernacle really brings before us humanity and dwelling, habitation, we know that God would be revealed in various ways to the children of Israel, and how he would show himself when the tabernacle system was set up. But even in our time, it's wonderful to see how God has been torn out towards us. Many may say, well, how could all of this be seen and the glory of God be seen? But it's being seen in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whilst he was here, many persons would wonder, he is walking on the water, he is displaying a lot of great things, but this certainly cannot be God, because they would question as to his genealogy and his person, his family tree and so forth. But it was really God amongst them while they were here, and he is with us today. And it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Jews wanted to kill him, and they did not believe that he was God, but God has been told out, and we know him in a real intimate and close way. He is divine in nature. He is eternal in existence, and he is distinct in his very person, the Son. And for us who have believed this and know this, we can even appreciate that it has been revealed to us by the Spirit of God, by divine persons. The Father has shown him forth, and this really will help us to lay hold on who God is and understand even more of him, and having him having his dwelling amongst us and making his abode with us.
We read that he is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So it's another one. That's another absolute. Christ is the absolute truth, yeah. Right? He's the absolute truth. And because we were, Brother Sam was talking about how, you know, this was of divine wisdom, and it was conjured up in eternity past, and it was thought of in eternity past. And so we know that this absolute truth of Christ, it's a timeless truth. It's a timeless truth, and because it's a timeless truth, it's a timely truth, right? And we know today, when we look around, especially our Western civilization, we see that this idea of absolute truth is withering away, and we see that people are no longer really, there's maybe a superficial aspect of absolute truths, but it doesn't really run deep, and people are shifting away from absolute truth, and they don't hold to it, and more people are shifting to relativism and this and that. So this is a timely truth. We must stick and cleave to this absolute truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, especially in this day.